They call me Mr. Potato Head because I'm the starch of the show. Get it? Because I got a big head and eyeball. Does he have one eyeball? That'd be cool to have one eyeball, you know? Then, if you have one eyeball, can you really side-eye anything? Because it would be just mid-eyeing. Because the only reason why we get side-eye is because we have two eyes to the side of our head. Well, some eyes are a little closer to the nose. But, you know, depending on your eye-to-nose ratio, depends on what they call it, narrow. What they call it when people are farsighted or nearsighted. Basically means you're short. See you on the far side. But yeah. You know, I'm starting to realize I'm really starting to become very Miami. I'm not talking about young Miami. That'd be weird if I was. Even though we all know a Diddy in our life, you know. We all know a Diddy, you know. Not there's anything wrong with being a Diddy. Well, place the I with the A. You know, I do have a belief that the reason why guys like to be called daddy is their obsession. Like, oh, girl, you better call me daddy. It's because it's the closest thing they're going to get to it. You know, no actual dad out there, no actual husband who actually loves their wife with an actual kid is sitting there like, call me daddy, you know. That's childish. Ironically, being called daddy is childish because you're seeking a childish type of endeavor or compliment. It's weird to like ask for it. You know, if someone or if your significant other calls you it, by all means, you know, I'm not here to shame. But, you know, if you have to ask to be called, you know, the big D word, then maybe you're just not built for it. Which is kind of funny because I was actually talking to someone earlier and he said that, you know, basically, I'm not getting into details of how it came up because it's kind of stupid. But he said the way he will quote unquote punish his kid is make his kid hold up dumbbells over his head for 5 minutes at a time. Now, whatever the weight is, I don't know, probably you supplement the weight that's a little harder than they can handle. So, and I was like, you know, that's actually not a bad philosophy. He's like, yeah. He's like, because you know what? If you're going to be a dumb fuck out here doing stupid shit, you're at least going to have good shoulders, you know. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. Raise a little Tarzan type of kid, jumping from tree branches, even though we won't have a backyard. And trees will probably be dead by then because of deforestation and vegetation laws. But, you know. Besides, dude, who really wants their kid climbing trees like that? Fine, you climb trees. I'll stay at the double tree. Which is ironic because they don't have any trees near a double tree. And what is the double tree? Is it two trees from one tree? Or is it just two trees that are symmetrical? But they call it a double tree. But wouldn't it be double trees if it's two different trees? Like if you were at the Dollar Tree, you know, you wouldn't say go to the Dollar Tree. And then there's two separate Dollar Trees side by side. It'd be one Dollar Tree. I don't know. But, yeah. It was weird because me and this guy, we kind of look similar, you know. Except he actually conditions his hair. But he's like one of those calisthenics gymnast type of guys. And he can like one-legged squat. He can do like one of those crazy shit. But he doesn't look like he would be able to. And I was talking to him like, you know what, man? I think we should raise the kid together. He's like, yeah, probably so. So that's that. Imagine combined, like, I don't know how that works if you can. So if two dudes bust in a cup, well, cup of choice, can you combine two dudes' semen, mix it together, inseminate it, and, or if you start mixing semen, it kills itself? Because, you know, it'd be like, let's say you have good qualities, but let's say your friend has really good qualities too, and you hope, they're probably going to make some science where you could pick and choose the parts of the DNA, and they know the DNA strands that connect to this type of features and that those type of characteristics. But then sometimes those could go awry. Because you might combine two different semens. And then the kid gets the worst of both, you know. You get the schizophrenic and the bipolar, you know. Combine that, you basically just get someone that stabs four girls at a movie theater. But, yeah, I don't know what's a little rejection. And a guy stabs four girls at a movie theater. I don't know if that's why he stabbed four girls at the movie theater, but typically that's why you would stab four girls at the movie theater, if they all rejected you. Yeah. Young love. But yeah, welcome to episode 279 of the Off Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeet. Recording this at 1:24 a.m. Eastern. May 27th. Jesus Christ. It's almost halfway through the year. It felt like just yesterday I was saying, man, we're halfway through the halfway through the year. So, yeah, for the archives, so, if you have a full house, does that mean that has to be paid in full? You know, if I had a house, you know, with like bedrooms and, you know, multiple bathrooms, you know, that crazy stuff. I think I would just leave rooms that I feel like we have so much, like, you're either in two situations. It seems like people don't have enough rooms, or they have too many rooms and they create rooms and create, you know, like gardens. They create hobbies like, oh, this is my office. Your office for what? Vacuuming my clothes? No, I'm kidding. It's weird. Everyone's got an office to do what? Got like a whole filing cabinet. Be like, oh, it's for, you know, to keep our paperwork in order, our registration. Or Social Security. It's like, you can fit all that in like three folders. But okay. Yeah. But. You know. We got a plasma. Blood. in our TVs. So is that what plasma TVs? Is it really from our blood? So we really, when we're watching plasma TVs, are we really just watching our blood thinning out through the screen? I guess that's really where the blood money's from. You know, I'm very skeptical about donations, you know. I'm not a big donating guy. You know, and I, honestly, it's kind of weird. I was actually happy when I went to a Panda Express the other day. And they didn't ask me if I would like to round up to the children's hospital. Because, you know, every time you say no, you feel this angst. Like, you just, like, said, fuck this kid with cancer. It's like, nah, I just, you know, I know how this shit works. I donate 90 cents. 20 cents goes to the actual kid. And 38 cents goes to the foundation. And then your company gets a cut from it. And then it's a write-off. Like, I know the deal. But it's weird how we're just comfortable with corporations and businesses being like, hey, you want to donate? It's like, hey, you know what? If I wanted to donate, I would actually just go to the website of the actual thing. Or I would actually go to the place and donate. This obsession with we got to feel charitable. Charitable is for poor people, okay? Charity is for poor people who want to stay poor by giving more to the poor. And then you're all just poor. And it's ironically ran by the Jews. No. probably. But no, it's probably ran by people who already have money, but they get into philanthropy, whatever the fuck that means. That's how you know you got too much time on your hands and you got too much money. When you start doing philanthropy. It's weird. It's kind of like Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. She's like, you know, this is just so much money I got in this divorce. It's like, it's just wrong for me to keep it. And Jeff Bezos is like, eh, keep it, bitch. And it's like, you know what? Because all he proved is like, you give someone all the money in the world, and you know what they're going to do? Anything but use it to make more money. I'm going to give it to some poor kid. Nah, you know. Just give it to charities and shit. And then what are they going to do with it? They randomly go out of business 2 years. Like, how are you donated $100 million and you go out of business two years later? You know? But, yeah. I'm not, you know, my thing is I just feel that we're a little too giving to random ass people. We're too giving to people that are under scooping our chicken. And the ironic part, the one day they don't ask, I'm like, why the fuck did you not ask if I wanted to donate? Do you guys just like have no faith that one day I might donate, even though I've rejected it the past 18 times I've been here? God, I feel like such a woman saying that. It's because you didn't ask. And it's weird, the one time they don't ask, they actually put like a shitload of food in my bowl. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, you know, that's the thing. I'm all about, you know, being compassionate, you know, trying to help the neighbor. But, you know, not all neighbors are good neighbors, you know. I don't care what Jesus said. They're the same neighbors that'll be like, hey, you know, I'll cut your grass for you while you're at work, buddy. And then they're creeping through kitchen window watching her do some pine saw, baby. Oh, it's his pine he saw. Does that mean SpongeBob can actually drink pine saw because he's a sponge? Because he could, but that's the thing, like, he can be underwater. He can eat food. He can eat Krabby Patties. But if he's a sponge, he should be able to, like, drink Pine Sol, right? I don't know. What do you call a squid that jizzes in your face? A word puzzle. Get it? Squid. Word. Puzzle. Nope. Okay. Me, me. Alright. Anyways, to important nudes. I said nudes. all nudes are important. What are those? There's nothing more vulnerable than taking a nude. Not that I do. That's for the kids. Well, hopefully you don't get a kid's nude, because you'll be in the nudes, alright. I don't even know what I would do if some random ass underage person sent me a nude and I accidentally opened it. I wouldn't even know what to do with it. Like, do you report it? Do you just delete it? Do you pass it on? And show, like, hey, mom, look what someone sent me. Oh my God. You weren't supposed to see that. It's like, oh, you and dad still have a spark going, huh? All right. Sparky tongue. But yeah. There's a fault in our stars. Speaking of faults, you notice how earthquakes. You notice how earthquakes always happen in big cities? They always happen in big cities. Not small countries, or small in size countries, but well-known countries. It's almost like they just, it's almost like earthquakes target areas. You know, it's always in the most highly dense populated areas. I know people gonna say, oh, it's because it's built on a grid. It's more like, I feel like there is someone, this is just Clint conspiracy time, I do feel like there is access that we have, that someone has, that we cause earthquakes by just processing underground tension or waves, and we send seismic shock waves through the ground. Because I do believe we have that power. I believe we've created technology to cause those issues. And we cause earthquakes to areas. And it causes a crisis. It causes, you know, donations. I do think, to call me crazy, going back to these donation relief places, I do think they have a say in this stuff, you know. It's no different than hospitals. It's like, you know, they literally give you medicines that solve one problem, but then cause other problems. Same thing. It's like, yeah, we have these great charitable places that give back and build homes. But, you know, in order to be a profitable company, we have to have enough problems. Otherwise, it's like, because of all, like, really, we had, like, no issues underground. Like, you notice how it's always, like, it's always, like, timely. It's almost like, huh, we haven't had a natural disaster in a while. And, oh, 6.8 earthquake in Indonesia. Oh, tsunamis, you know, it's weird to say, I wish tsunamis happened more, because obviously you don't. But it's one of the most fascinating things that's crazy. How that is really like the least common big natural disaster. And honestly, I only heard about mudslides a couple years ago. The only mudslides I knew was the ones my mom would make. yeah. I took a couple sips. Yep, I still don't know what's in that shit. But hoo hoo hoo. My 4-year-old self was like, bazinga. Hot cider vinegar is what you use to get rid of UTIs. That's what I've been told. You know, I actually did know someone that used to drink apple cider vinegar. And I was like, but someone told me, like, it was a crazy thing. I was like, isn't that really just like apple juice? I didn't really have a great idea of what vinegar was. And then, you know what happens? You know, when you grow up in a lower to middle class home, depending on the year, depending if you were the lower middle class or the middle middle class, when your mom starts making her own disinfectants, things are down pretty bad. So it was like, why don't you just get, you know, Lysol, Pledge of Allegiance. Now, when they just start spraying some random shit they put together and the whole fucking cabinets just smell like fucking vinegar, you're like, what the fuck is this? It's like, oh, this is actually how it's supposed to be. Not those, oh, those beautifully smelled chemicals. Like, no, this is what actually cleans your countertops. You know, this is how, you know, you actually, and you're like, oh, all right. And then, you know, you get accustomed to it, but it doesn't really look like it cleans anything. But apparently it really does clean stuff. It just doesn't smell all that delightful. So it took me years to realize, wow, that I actually knew someone that drank apple cider vinegar. And, like, by the bottle, you know? And it only hit me, like, a few weeks ago. I'm like, wow, I really need new people in my life. I don't know, is it cheap? But yeah, I've never been a big juice guy. I leave the juice to OJ. Squeezing them balls to the end zone. Actually, didn't he die recently? Damn. Yeah, I think he did of pancreatic. Or, you know, karma. You know, that's a, you know, the fascinating thing about OJ is that this guy, even in real time, it really is crazy how people even in real time, like, couldn't see that he was just a functional lunatic, psychopath. Like, he was like, honestly, he tried to be so well-spoken, kind of like The Rock. Obviously, The Rock's not out here murdering people. But really, the only difference between The Rock, like, The Rock is what OJ should have been. What they were trying to make him to be. But, you know, he just couldn't help himself. Where The Rock is so, like, now, it's very PR-ish. Anytime someone is overly protective of how they put every statement out, it's always suspect at best. But OJ was really the same way. He was trying to, you know, carnage an image. Yeah, that's a word for you fuckers. Carnage. I don't even know if that's the right word. But sounds like it is. Sounds like a word that OJ would take out of your body when he dismembers you. But yeah, you know, me and OJ, you know, we do have a few things in common, believe it or not. You know, we both have a great smile. We both give killer vibes. I've been stabbed. not to that extent, you know. Just a cute little, like, I gotcha. But, you know, I would say young love, but they weren't really young. But, you know, just to be fair, he really, that could have been considered passionate defense, you know. Like, she was out here being a hoe. And people were treating her like, you know, It's like, hey, man, I ain't saying it's right to kill someone, but, you know, all I'm saying is OJ is a passionate man, was. But, yeah, you know. I just hate people that try to partake. I hate people that try to go over the top with how they massage their image, you know. It's like, bro, like, no one's, you know, no one's really out here thinking you're the greatest person in the world because you visit the children's hospital every week. Like, honestly, you're not doing it for the kids at that point. You're doing it for you. Unless it's your kid there, fuck off. Like, honestly, if I was a dying kid or a dying person, and I was sitting in a hospital, and someone came to see me every fucking week, a person that I don't really know like that beforehand, I would be more angry. Be like, oh, so this is just, I'd be looking like, so this is really just to make yourself feel like you're doing something worthwhile, right? Like, this is really, this is for you. This isn't for me. You know, you're not paying any of my fucking bills, you know. And even if you are, you're doing it because, you know, it's good for your image. An image can sell more deals and money. Like, I get it, you know. Name, image, likeness. So, if that's my name, what do you call a indigo? Bobby Shmurda. Speaking of, the obsession with wanting to go to prison is crazy. It's, we are fascinated with prison life, but not actually going there. We like watching videos, we like hearing the stories, we like hearing ex-convicts tell the crazy stories, and then make fun when people are getting, you know, when bad stuff is being done in prison, you know. Survival. It's the definition of survival of the fittest, to be honest. And I do worry that we glorify the prison life. That someone who may partake in activities, like a young guy, partakes in activities that lead to that, the rationalization would be like, hey, they seem to be like, you know, they seem to have their own world structure in there. It's, you know. And, you know, I'm not someone that's like, hey, we need to not put stuff out there. But at the same time, there's a glorification that it's almost cool to go to prison. Like, you know how many stories there are of correctional officers getting with, like, marrying the inmates after they get out? Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. You know, I mean, you know, people say whatever. It's no different than meeting someone at work, you know. But typically when you meet someone at work, you know, they're not, it's typically you're on some type of equal ground. And I would say, I would look at the corrections officer's intentions. Like, you're taking advantage of people in vulnerable time of life, people in desperation, showing them quote-unquote love, because what are they going to do? Not. But. Wee, wee, wee. Apparently Bobby V is into the trannies. I guess you forgot to tell him to slow down. Alright. I just want to get to know you. Oh, he wants to get to know you. Alright. And you know, there's this belief that you should not discriminate against, like, if you truly love a woman, right? If you're a guy that's into a girl, then the biological girl, then that means if a girl were to transition to a man, then you should be just as attractive because their original form was the girl. Because if they were a guy and then transitioned to a girl, then it's like, oh, well, you were once a guy and you have this. It's like, well, if they were once a girl and now they're a guy, they still have the, you know, plum, plum. Then, you know, you should like them. So it's like, no, I just don't like people. That came out wrong. I just don't like being. It's not even really about the gender at that point. It's honestly about the, like, I'm not into people that make drastic life choices like that. And regardless if you're for it or not, I'm not into confused people, you know? You know, look, we're all confused beings, but you know what? We're confused about, what do I want to eat today? Why did I miss the toilet when I shit this morning? You know, we're confused, but I don't want you to be confused of, you know, do I sit down or you sit down today? You know, it's not the type of confusion I want. And I just don't get the whole obsession, because it is a thing. And gay dudes do get off, no pun intended, on quote-unquote turning a straight man not so straight. You know, that is a thing. They kind of get off on it. Oh, shit. That's what they say. And, which is a weird thing, right? It's a weird thing because it's almost like you brag about it. Like you did some taboo, which basically what you're admitting is when you quote unquote convert or you switch a man to being gay, to liking, you know, different types of booty. Then all of a sudden, like that's like an accomplishment. And then they'll shame and out people, you know, that, and that's always where it gets weird. Like, if a guy's secretly in the closet, right, and they're having a secret situation with another guy, and that guy exposes them for being gay and shames them for it, which is kind of weird that you're shaming someone for the same thing that you partake in, you know, it's kind of a weird cycle. And you're basically kind of admitting that in your eyes that, hey, this thing is not a, this thing is not, quote unquote, acceptable. And so I don't know. It's kind of weird because I would think you want to embrace your community. And so it's kind of odd to me that if someone was secretly, you know, on the down low, then you would respect that, you know. Shout out to the guys on the DL. Hewley. I'm such a fool. Where's my DJ Vlad interview? So you can expose my whole past and all my incriminating offenses. DJ Vlad literally will be interviewing someone. So when you saw King Von laying there, it'd be like, bruh. But at the same time, these people do these interviews. And this man base will get you to incriminate yourself. And also, now they're saying Diddy. Back to the Diddy. That apparently he was a... These are just rumors, but could be true. That apparently he was an... that he's an undercover CIA agent. Because apparently his dad used to, you know, be in the drug kingpin or something like that. And apparently he got busted and part of his deal was to work for the CIA. So he kind of got in that and then, you know, Diddy growing up seeing that, kind of got in corporate. That's the alleged potential. And because that's the way that all this stuff is, how all this stuff is out there, but he hasn't been arrested. Is that, oh, maybe all the stuff he's doing is because he's trying to, you know, he's been undercover for 18 years while making producer beats. Like, okay. That's not really how being undercover works. You're not out there trying to be a music mogul. And then you're like, oh. Yeah, by the way, you know, I'll uncover some frisky business of Hollywood for you. If you do me a solid and don't assassinate me. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems a little... That seems a little out there. We can't assume that everyone's doing something under the table. Well, Diddy's done a few things under the table, it seems. Oh, Meek. And then Nicki Minaj is getting arrested for, quote-unquote, soft drugs. What? Pre-rolls. Are you serious? Well, she went to Amsterdam. And what you don't realize is, yes, in Amsterdam, that stuff is legal if you buy it there. The issue is, you flew with it on a plane from America. And she literally put in this Twitter post rant that she did, that my team is trying to get me take this down. And she's like, fuck that. I'm not taking this shit down. And people are commenting like, yeah, you should probably take this shit down because you're basically just admitting and incriminating yourself that you had stuff in your bags that you shouldn't have flew and traveled with. Now, apparently it's supposed to be a shakedown. It's just country trying to get money out of her or something, or I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, I guess we know it was not a world tour, it was his girl's tour. Meek is really down bad these days. Who would like make the rap name Meek Mill? Like, things are looking meek today. That's a mid. Meek is mid. He's mid-mill. He's General Mid-Mill. General Mill cereal. And also, like, to be honest, like, you know, I'm not saying he can't rap. And I'm not someone to, I'm not in a position to really be critiquing the rap game or rap style or rap flow. It's because I'm, it's not even whether you're good or not. It's honestly really just like, I'm not that well versed in knowledge of the history of, you know, the different stages of rap and stuff like that. But just listen to Meek Mill. It really does sound like he just writes the lyrics, finds a beat, and then he just tries to fit it in. You know? There's nothing wrong with that. You know? I respect the style. But his voice doesn't sound like someone who's rapping, if that makes sense, you know? Like, there's a voice of, like, I'm talking, you know. His voice is just like, and you got Butterbean Bones, you know. I'm from Philly where you get shot in the chrome. We ride dirt bikes if you want some. I lost my brother Jay when I was 9 in the home, you know. You ain't from the streets, you know, that type of thing. That's what kind of, that's a feeling. It's not like, Meek Mill isn't like the precise rapper, but he's also not really like saying a whole lot either, if that makes sense. Not say he's not saying anything, everything's personal, but, you know, he's not spreading a wide message to the culture like Drake. sorry. I'm kidding. Even I can acknowledge Drake doesn't rap for, a meaning or a purpose beyond just self admiration. But that doesn't mean he don't be saying stuff. But, you know, Drake's idea of struggle is like, man, we used to eat sriracha noodles on a nightly basis. That's the actual line. He's like, ooh, the sriracha noodles from mom, I still taste it. That's his idea of struggle, you know. And everyone's got their own struggle, but it is funny. When Drake tries to tell it, like, you know, oh, my dad was never a good dad, you know, type of thing. And his dad's like, the fuck? Here's pictures of us when you were 9 years old on Christmas. What the fuck are you talking about? I was literally in a music producer. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? If I was there for you, what would you have to talk about? Exactly. Shut up, Drake. I will say this, and this is just me and my humble opinion. Nothing extravagant. I'm not going to say anything crazy. But I do think that Miguel and J. Cole is the most undefeated combo of rap and, I guess, R&B pop music. Every song they have done, it hits. And the best thing about them is that they don't have too many collabs, but they have just enough and they're spaced out enough where it's like, we put out some, oh shit. It's like, you know, it's like Drake and Young Thug, they have a bunch of shit, but it's like, you know, some's okay, some's not. There is a thing about, like, Drake and Future, I mean, they did a whole fucking album together, you know, and now they're beefing. How do you do a whole album together? And then literally just a few years later, it's like, eh, you know what? Fuck y'all, you know? It's like nothing even happened between Future and Drake. It literally was Future had Kendrick on a song, and then Drake said, "Hey, I'm coming after all you motherfuckers." But you know, it'd be like that. Because, you know, Drake, Future, Trey Songz, they all kind of had that same come up. Like, around the same time they had the mixtapes, their first albums were all around the same time. And, they all have their own issues with women. Future just has a lot of different women with babies. Drake just has women who some he wants to claim the baby, some he don't. And Trey Songz just should probably just stay away from him. It goes to show that I don't think everyone that enters the music industry or just any industry or any type of fame, I don't think they go into it having a just as negative way of thinking about women and stuff. I do think the situations and kind of how they're viewed, they had to adjust their protectiveness of themselves. And sometimes when you start thinking too highly of yourself, or you start thinking that everyone's out, you start becoming the aggressor and you start being the bad person. It's kind of ironic because you're trying to prevent bad people from taking advantage of you, and then you become the exact same thing over time because of what you're trying to prevent. And, like, you know, I don't know these guys' childhood or how they grew up, but, you know, more likely they probably weren't abusers or manipulating women, you know. But when you come across that, you know, come across the type of money, the type of fame, it has to change you. Because if it doesn't, you know, you're gonna die. They're coming to get you. And it's like the Diddy, you know, the Diddy. It's like Diddy in the video of him, you know, throwing Cassie around, you know. Which, honestly, is weird how, like, we need to see the video. I mean, there was already, but the weird part is all the video does is confirm what everyone already knew was taking place. But weirdly, the video, they can't do nothing about it. They can't even charge him because of statute of limitations. But it confirms, really, like, that all this stuff that's coming out isn't random. Like, they're, like, and then he puts out an apology. It's like, bro, like, you knew that existed, for one. And that wasn't the first time he's probably done something, anything close to that. So it's not like he wants to apologize and be like, oh, you know, I take full accountability. It's like, yeah, you have to take full accountability. Look at you. I mean, like, you can't be like, that was AI, bro. But, yeah, that's the crazy part, is that we're really, sometimes we idolize people so much that we forget that they are susceptible to do worse things than us, who we deem ourselves as nothing to be idolized or to be looked up to any significant level. But weirdly enough, the more you're idolized, the more likely you are to do the lowest of low, because you have that extreme good and bad of you, which kind of makes you kind of a person to idolize, you know. But I guess the moral of all that is, chances are most of these guys that turn out to be creeps or, you know, really bad dudes, doing things to women that you shouldn't be doing to anyone. And I don't think they entered the business like that. But I think you kind of just become your environment. And it becomes the normal. You become so high on codeine or whatever the fuck pills they're putting you on, and these tours where you have to be put on sleep medications. You know, it's crazy. But it's possible. You know, Taylor Swift isn't out here beating dudes up, you know. Well, just with her words. You know, and someone did bring up, like, really, if Taylor Swift wasn't famous, and she was just some girl playing in a subway, like, literally, like, no one would bat an eye. And that sounds bad, but it's also the impressive aspect about her, is the fact that there's nothing glaringly physically from a vocal or a performance standpoint that's, she's not like, you know, an elite dancer like a Beyonce or a Doja Cat. I don't even know why I said Doja. I don't even know if she fucking dances, but you know, she doesn't have a unique voice like a SZA. She doesn't have a like Celine Dion type of, but I think because she doesn't have those physical advantages from that standpoint, it almost makes it where the writing and the songwriting and the music has to feel so connected to her that people feel that. That it really does take, like, you know, this is coming from her. And one of the things that people don't realize is she literally writes every single one of her lyrics. Like, even, you know, Justin Timberlake, there's accusations that apparently, I think it was Rock Your Body was by this random guy named Lyle. And look, he hasn't written all of his songs, JT, like, that's normal in the pop music world, but it's weird for her that she actually writes every single one of her lyrics. And so I think it builds that connection where, like, you hear it. It's almost like her and John Mayer. John Mayer, I don't know if he does this anymore. I'm sure he collabs. But starting, like, he wrote all of his music and his instrumental was attached to it. Like, you heard the song, you know, like, oh, this is something he wrote. This is a package deal. You could tell by the instrument, the instrumental display, how it's produced. Like, you can tell this is all him. But John Mayer, like, in, you know, the early years, was just playing at a bookstore. Like, it was, like, it'd be like, oh, this guy, he's cool. But, you know, they would just be like, this fucking guy with big lips. Your body is willing. But, yeah. And, well, of course, people will say, like, oh, the only reason why she could get away with that is because she's blonde and white. And it's like, well, you know, maybe. But who cares? Does it really matter? Because her being blonde and white, she still had to write the lyrics. She still had to play the music. You know, I don't know. Maybe it would be more criticized if she was Indonesian or something. I don't know. With the same voice, same everything. I don't know. She's just, you know, she looks like a regular Midwest girl. Even though she grew up in Vermont with a very rich family, by the way. But her growing up in a rich family doesn't mean that she's not talented in what she does. She, yeah, her dad had connections and stuff that got her in the door, but you can get in the door and then get your ass kicked right out if you suck ass. So, you know, she had a thing about her. Yeah. All right. But yeah, I think it's time to stop wiggling my wee-wee right now. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit. What are those? Just reaping the fruits of my labor. More like the grim reaping fruits of my labor. taxes are just cunts of grapes. They just... But yeah, alright. That's episode 279 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties while listening to Love Story by Taylor Swift. And remember that when you're sucking them titties to Love Story, she was 16 when she sang that song, so you're actually a fucking creep for listening to a 16-year-old sing while you're having sex. That is kind of weird. If you're into music, if you're participating in activity from the age, if you're participating in activity, and then the stuff that you put on, whether it's music or on TV, it's like a kid's show or teenage music, you know, you might be one of those creeps that like watching anime girls because it reminds you of how young they could be if they weren't scamming your asses, you dumb folks. All right, I'm sweating balls in here. All right. Ooh.